Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Three, two, one. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Dominic, TGIF. Time to air some grievances up in here.
Crudy, happy Friday to you. Nate, working the board. Thank you, young man. Our fair audience, happy Friday to us all. Crudy, I mean, folks, if you can't see, now check us out on the streaming socials. You'll see Crudy is wearing a fine, looks like paying some homage to perhaps the late Jimmy Buffett with this tropical muumuu you got going on, man.
It's not a muumuu. It's a Hawaiian shirt. Have you never seen a Hawaiian shirt? I see many stepdad looking middle-aged Wisconsinites wearing the Hawaiian shirt on the weekend.
As long as you're not a boogaloo boy, you're not a boogaloo boy, are you, man? Right? Those the fascists wear some Hawaiian shirts sometimes too. Hey, man, but I'd love to see you with a little color on you, man. You're looking good, baby.
Well, I'm nice and tan. I got my Badger lid. You know, it's a big Badger weekend playing against Washington State University. That game will stream across the Civic Media Network. Now you got me talking sports, Dom. WRJN, our flagship. You can listen in the Milwaukee Metro, 1400 AM. And always streaming live on WRJN. Get the Civic Media app. But the Badgers, tomorrow night, 6:30. Looking forward to that big game. And later in this big showdown, we're going to have Mike Clemens, our sports director. And he will be in Chicago this weekend because Packers kickoff, game of the week, 3:25 p.m. on Sunday. And we've also got that for you across the Civic Media Network in various markets. Now, we can't stream the Packers, unfortunately. But we're playing them for you on WRJN, our sports flagship. Again, 1400 AM, that's the one you could start with. And then if you're local, you can find the 99.9 in Racine and 98.1 in Kenosha. But we got you covered at 1400 AM in Milwaukee. Listen to our Packer coverage. You've been listening to the Packers on the AM for 100 years. Why change now? You know, not that heartless radio signal, not them. Us. Come to us.
Yeah, come to us. Come on.
And that game, Dom, did I mention that I am of the opinion that the Bears still suck? And we will talk about that.
I know you are, but my glorious Lions were victorious last night, Michael. Did you watch some of that game?
I did, in fact. You and I, you know I watched that game because you and I were texting back and forth. You know, go Lions, the Chiefs, meow.
Didn't they win the Super Bowl last year? Right. And the Lions, they won 21-20. It was a hell of a game. They pulled through on the road. Hear the roar, baby. Number one in the NFC North, man. Longest winning streak in the NFC North.
This year so far. Till somebody else plays. Well, congrats to your Lions, man. Enjoy it while you can. Because on September 28th, that's a Thursday night, the Lions are coming to Lambeau, and it's going to be all over but the crying, fella.
We'll see.
Well, I'll have much trash talking going on. We're going to be at a watch party. Dom, we've got some plans uh-oh, to have a good time coming up in the foreseeable weeks.
I always plan to have a good time, Crudy. It's a matter of where we're having that good time.
Well, we know a couple of dates for sure, Dom. And should we start telling the people?
Why not? If we got something nailed down, we could share it. Absolutely. We want people to come and hang out, party with us.
We don't so much as permission as, you know, we'll ask and get apologies. Give apologies? What do you do when you don't ask permission? You just go on the road.
Road rather trip. Ask for forgiveness than for permission.
We'll ask for forgiveness later. But we're coming to a town near you all across the state of Wisconsin. Here's what we know for sure-sies. Next Friday night, we will be broadcasting near the Lining Kugels Brewing Company from the Northern Wisconsin State Fair, I believe, grounds in Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, for their Chippewa Falls Oktoberfest ceremonies, Dom. I mean, you know, two guys know how to Oktoberfest. It's you and I. So we'll be doing that. That's already booked. So I know we'll be there. We're hopefully going to be joined by a couple of the third CD candidates. And I know Pat Kreitlow, our morning host here, you know, Up North News, Civic Media, Pat's got us on the calendar. So we're going to party with Pat that day.
Nice.
So 1 week from today, we'll be partying in Chippewa Falls at the Oktoberfest. But that's not all, Dom. That's not even.
Wait, there's more.
There's more. And at least two other dates we can safely announce. The other date, Dom, another Oktoberfest, the original. La Crosse, Wisconsin. You knew. Oh,
going home, baby.
Now that we have, we being Civic Media, not you and I per se, but Civic Media has, and we play on a fine affiliate in La Crosse, Wisconsin, the Eagle. Here at SOAR, the Eagle 14. That's a different one. That's the Shaw. Caw the Shaw. The Eagle. Okay, right. You got to get an Eagle call. Work on that for us, Nate, please. The Eagle 1490 AM will be our originating station on September 29th, because, Dom, it is my intent to take you to Oktoberfest in La Crosse. We will soar with the Eagles and party with the Owls or something. We'll probably stay late that night. I've got a hotel room for that night.
Okay, good. All right.
On the river, no falling in, fella.
No, the river. It's a tough one.
Hopefully the smiley face killer has moved on.
Passed on. Let's hope.
Some don't even know what we're talking about. Sometimes we don't even know. So we're going to La Crosse on September 29th. But, Don, we referenced that Lions-Packers game. So the obvious choice would be go to Green Bay, right? So we're going to take the less obvious choice because, you know, you don't want to do the obvious. The less obvious choice, we're going to party with our friends and fans of the Packers, a little politics then Packers in Richland Center. In my understanding, our friend Henry Bray, who is our sales director down there, he's working out the details with the local bowling alley. We're going to do, you know, a Packer watch party. That'll be a 7:15 start. So we're going to broadcast until 6, you know, sorry, your Packer pregame show on WRCE. And then the Packers will play on the big 100.9 WRCO. But we'll be partying with the people in Richland Center that day. And Dom, I understand you're going to miss a couple shows, so I'm going to go party without you. I don't need you to party. I don't need you to go out with the people. So tentatively, I'm thinking Green Bay without you, man. We'll see how it goes.
Me. Come on, man. You go up north without me, man.
Well, I know.
Green Bay's like my backyard.
Yeah, well, you can go to Green Bay. We can go Green Bay next game. You know, we'll find a Monday nighter or something. We'll go back to Green Bay. But, you know, I might have to go that week without you because I've already got the offer of a fine code devil for Thursday, September 21st. And, you know, I'm looking to replace you, perhaps. A lot of that going around this week.
Yeah.
Also, did I mention on this big show, Dom, we're going to air the grievances, of course. It's Friday. That is our method and could be yours. You know, we can be your therapy. Cry on our shoulders if you need.
Cry on each other's shoulders. Give each other some hugs.
844-967-2789. But Democratic Party Wisconsin Chairman, call him the Rainmaker, Ben Wickler, joining us at 4:30 today. Going to talk about supporting Proto Sewitz. And she's under fire, Dom. And I think, at least topically, that's maybe where we want to start today. Did you see there was a little opinion piece at the New York Times? And the headlines, you know, sometimes they're on track and sometimes they're off track. But, you know, tell me what you think of this headline, you and the audience. a breathtaking contempt for the people of Wisconsin.
That sounds about right.
September 8th, this first published, Jamel Bouye has this to say. For more than a decade, dating back to the Republican triumph in the 2010 midterm elections, Wisconsin Republicans have held their state legislature in an iron lock forged by a gerrymander so stark that nothing short of a supermajority of voting public could break it. Now he starts getting into some wonky details. I don't mind. In 2012, the first year the maps were in effect, Republicans won 46% of the statewide vote, but 60% of the seats in the state assembly. In 2014, Republican won the governorship, that was the Wanker, by 52% of the vote, which gave them 63% of the seats in the assembly. In 16, Republicans and Democrats essentially split the statewide vote, but Republicans claimed 64% of the seats in the assembly. Now, by 2018, the gerrymander proved strong enough to allow the Wisconsin Republicans to win a supermajority of seats in the assembly, despite losing the vote for every statewide office and the statewide legislative vote by 8 percentage points, 54 to 46%. So if you understand what he's saying there, Republicans on the legislative ballot earned 46% of the vote. And Dom, my understanding, what is the majority they earned ultimately? Well, we'll have to read on. The statewide legislative vote by 8 percentage points, 54 to 46. Again, Democrats earning 54, Republicans 46. No matter how much Wisconsin voters might want to elect a Democratic legislature, the Republican gerrymander won't allow them to. The gerrymander alone undermines Wisconsin's status as a democracy. If a majority of people cannot, under any realistic circumstance, elect a legislative majority of their choosing, then it's hard to say where they actually govern themselves. Folks, we are the devil's advocates. We'll talk more about this. What's the headline again? A breathtaking contempt for the people of Wisconsin. Talking to you, Robin Foss, you Republican legislatures. We're going to take this show on the road. Take it to the people. The Fall in Love Hometown Tour. Diamond Crew, Devil's Advocates, and you could be there. You could party with us. We're the fun people. We do this for a living. Imagine you could put this down on your lifetime bucket list. I party with the Devil's Advocates. It's always a party up in here. Stick around or join us, 844-96-PARTY.
I don't know if you know the Devil's Advocates, but the show is kind of a big deal.
On the road again.
And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Happy Friday to us all airing the grievances. And stick around, Ben Wickler, chair of the Wisconsin Democratic Party, going to join us at 4:30. But Crudy, let's get back to this Jamel Bouye. Okay. I don't know if I'm going to trust your pronunciation.
I took 2 years of French. You cochon.
Come on. Is it Louis Butler or Louis Butler? I just want to know which one it is, Mr. French. The breathtaking contempt for the people of Wisconsin, writes Jamel in the opinion piece of the New York Times. Very timely, of course, Wisconsin getting another look nationally because the Wisconsin Republicans are looking to throw out Janet Protasiewicz because she threatens them. He goes on to write, and I want to repeat this paragraph, Crudy, and we'll jump back into it. The gerrymandering alone undermines Wisconsin's status as a democracy. If a majority of the people cannot, under any realistic circumstances, elect a legislative majority of their choosing, then it's hard to say whether they actually govern themselves. Yes, it certainly is. What makes the situation worse are the actions of Republican lawmakers. Using their gerrymandered majority, Wisconsin Republicans have done everything in their power to undermine, subvert, or even nullify the public's attempt to chart a course away from the Republican Party. In 2018, for example, Wisconsin voters put Tony Evers, a Democrat, in the governor's mansion, sweeping the incumbent Scott Walker out of office. Almost immediately, Wisconsin Republicans introduced legislation to weaken the state's executive branch, curbing the authority that Walker had exercised as governor. earlier this year, Wisconsin voters took another step toward ending a decade of Republican minority rule in the legislature by electing Janet Protasiewicz, a liberal Milwaukee County judge, to the state Supreme Court in one of the most high-profile and expensive judicial elections in American history. The reason behind the flood of money and attention was straightforward. If she won, Protasiewicz would break the conservative majority on the court, giving liberal justices an opportunity to shape the state's legal landscape until at least the next judicial election cycle. And Protasiewicz made no secret of her views. If elected, she said she would defend abortion rights and give a new look at the state's legislative maps, which she criticized as rigged and unfair. Protasiewicz won a double-digit victory with record turnout.
You're welcome, Wisconsin.
Wanted her on the court to stand up for their reproductive and voting rights. Wisconsin Republicans can't strip a judicial officer of her power, but they can remove her, which is what they intend to do. A quote. Republicans in Wisconsin are coalescing around the prospect of impeaching a newly seated liberal justice on the state Supreme Court. My newsroom colleague Reed Epstein reports. The push just 5 weeks after Justice Janet Protasiewicz joined the court and before she has heard a single case serves as a last-ditch effort to stop the new 4-3 liberal majority from throwing out Republican-drawn legislative maps and legalizing abortion in Wisconsin. That's what Epstein said. Jamal goes on to write, Republicans have more than enough votes in the Wisconsin State Assembly to impeach Protasiewicz and enough votes and just enough votes in the Senate, 2/3 majority, to remove her. But removal would allow Governor Evers to appoint another jurist, liberal jurist, which is why Republicans don't plan to convict and remove Protasiewicz. If instead the Republican-led state Senate chooses not to act on impeachment, Justice Protasiewicz is suspended but not removed. The court would then revert to a 3-3 deadlock, very likely preserving the Republican gerrymander and keeping a 19th century abortion law, which bans the procedure, on the books. If successful, Wisconsin Republicans will have created, in effect, an unbreakable hold on state government. With their gerrymandering priests in place, they have an almost permanent grip on the state legislature with supermajorities in both chambers. With these majorities, they can limit the reach and power of any Democrat elected to statewide office and remove or neutralize any justice who might rule against the gerrymander. It's that breathtaking contempt, Crudy, for the people of Wisconsin, who have voted since 2018 for a more liberal state legislature and a more liberal state Supreme Court and a more liberal governor with the full powers of his office available to him. That makes the Wisconsin Republican Party the most openly authoritarian in the country.
Yup. A little bit more from Bouye at the New York Times. Of course, there's nothing yet written in stone. Wisconsin Republicans might, for the first time, show an ounce of restraint. I know it's hard to say. And refrain from taking this radical step against self-government if they choose otherwise. Justice Protasiewicz could sue, citing her First Amendment right to free speech. The Republican case against her, after all, is that she disparaged their gerrymander in her campaign, making her biased. The scheme could also backfire. If Protasiewicz were to resign following an impeachment, the state would hold a new election next year. Wisconsin Republicans might face an angry and mobilized electorate in a presidential year, and you can bet your ass we're going to make sure that happens. Regardless of how this specific situation plays out, it illustrates a broader problem in the structure of American political life. In the absence of national regulation and against the backdrop of a federal Supreme Court that is, at best, apathetic on the issues of voting rights, states are as liable to make laboratories of autocracy as they are to serve as laboratories of democracy. And without federal intervention to enforce a Republican form of government, as the Constitution phrases it, the voters themselves have no other choice but to leave for greener pastures if they hope to govern themselves. There are those who say that this, the states as semi-sovereign entities with broad discretion over their internal affairs, is the point of the American system. That this is the design, the framers' intent, that this is tenable when the difference between the states is one of tax policies or the extent of the social safety net. This is not when the issues turn to fundamental issues of political and civil rights. Wisconsin, it seems, is simply the latest flashpoint over a larger question being contested in different arenas across different areas of concern. What is the scope and the power of the states? What is the meaning of American citizenship? And what rights do we actually have in theory and in practice? Well, very few, if Republicans in the state of Wisconsin get their way. Again, this opinion piece, entitled, headlined, A Breathtaking Contempt for the People of Wisconsin. We're going to have the Democratic Party chair, Bitten Wickler. He's going to join us next. We're going to talk about those Republicans. They don't love us. They don't even like us. More devils. We love you. Come on back.
All right. Thank you very much.
The Devil's Advocates. Making radio great again.
Well, I wonder what it's like to be the rainmaker.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Friday edition. Airing the grievances, joined by a guest soon, we hope. Ben Wickler, Democratic Party of Wisconsin chairman. I don't think Ben would stand us up. He must be momentarily detained. So we'll see if the rainmaker can join us soon. Ben, if you're struggling with the StreamYard, call us 844-967-2789. Dom, so we, of course, have the threatened at this point, it's just a threat, impeachment of Protasiewicz. Oh, and Ben is ready to join us, so let's not delay. The eagerly anticipated guest, chairman of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. We'd like to thank friend of the Devil's Advocates. He answered today. He's Ben Wickler. Welcome to the greatest radio show ever. Some say, Ben.
Hey, Ben.
I hope I qualify as a friend of the Devil's Advocates. I'm certainly a fan. It's good to see both of you. I am so mad right now, you guys. This is unbelievable what they're threatening here. The fact of the threat alone is so extreme and so unacceptable. It is putting a gun to the head of a state Supreme Court justice and saying, don't do your job or we will pull the political trigger. And just by itself, it's already undermining our system of government. If they go through with it, it is a shockwave to anyone in office that you could be impeached simply on the basis of disagreeing with the people in power. And that is not how our system is supposed to work.
Now, Ben, you're the Democratic Party chair, but this seems more like a small D democracy kind of an issue, less than a Democratic Party issue per se.
100%. I mean, when Robin Voss first started talking about this, I was like, I hope the whole state responds in unequivocal terms that this is unacceptable. I hope the Republican legislators say that this is unacceptable and this thing gets shut down. But he kept talking about it. And we started getting word. We saw right-wing talk radio hosts posting that they were actually trying to round up the votes. So at some point, I think it's on all of us. And as a Democratic Party chair, I'm speaking up, you know, almost as much as or more as a citizen than as a party leader. I think everyone who's speaking up at this moment, we're defending the Constitution because the Constitution does not envision this. This is an abuse, an unconstitutional abuse of power. Our Constitution says impeachment is for crimes, misdemeanors, corrupt conduct in office, and that's it. And she hasn't heard a single case. She's done nothing wrong. Everything she's been done since the moment she was sworn in a month and a week ago has been by the books. So what are they doing? It is a power move, and it's got to backfire on them so they never even think about doing something like this again.
Ben Wickler, Democratic Party Chair, great state of Wisconsin. Ben, we suspect in some of the reporting we've seen and some of the strategizing I've heard on right-wing talk radio is effectively they don't need to impeach her. But the simple act of moving, and it would only take a simple majority in the assembly, and they could give cover fire to any unwilling to vote Republicans in the assembly because they'd have votes to burn on the assembly side. But this simple action of moving forward with the impeachment, well, this could be a delay tactic forever, Ben, because the Republicans and the Senate never have to vote on this. They never have to bring closure. They never have to put a bad vote on the record, even, Ben. All they have to do is basically sideline her by moving through the assembly. Is that the strategy, perhaps, sir?
So there's an article on Vox.com today that is currently the number two article on the entire website. And the headline is "The Republican Party's Plan to Rule the State of Wisconsin Forever Explained." And it just explains exactly what you just said. They have noticed that there's a little loophole in the Constitution. It's clearly not what the framers of our Constitution intended, but it doesn't say how fast or require a specific time frame for a Senate trial to convict someone who's been impeached by the state assembly. And so Republicans, I think, believe that they've found a loophole that could allow them to cruise right through, to vote to impeach Janet Protasiewicz. They could have 14 Republicans could vote against impeachment, and they'd still have a majority because they're gerrymander. And then she's suspended, cannot rule, cannot do anything in office. And then the Senate sits on its hands. Now, that is their theory, but there's a couple big problems with it. The first one is try testing that out in court, you guys. Right. The idea, like in other states, when there have been impeachments, courts have already ruled on things like, oh, you're not allowing the person you're impeaching to call witnesses. Well, that's a violation of their due process rights. There's a whole bunch of law about this in impeachment all over the country. If they think that they can just waltz through and suspend someone, overturn an election with a million voters and suspend someone and have that stand up in a court of law, they are really not thinking about this very carefully. The second thing is that the state Senate is going to face massive, massive pressure. And there are enough Republicans in districts that Janet Protasiewicz won that if all those people lose their reelections, Democrats get the majority in the state Senate. So the idea that all those senators are going to sit around and be fine with month after month of constant overwhelming pressure saying, this is not constitutional, you've got to acquit. I mean, good luck with that. I think the Republican Party is kicking, they're playing with fire in a dynamite factory here. This is the most hideously unsmall d democratic thing that you can do to try to nullify the votes of a million voters. And I can tell you from talking to Democrats all across the state, people are furious. People are furious. And every single Republican will be on record for how they vote in the state assembly and then whether they vote in the state Senate. And this is going to be the defining act of their political careers. You can't just overturn someone's vote election. You can't nullify an election and not face consequences. So I mean, as much as this is bad politics for Republicans, I wish with every fiber of my being that this weren't happening, because this is bad for our democracy. They should announce that they've done a review and this doesn't meet the constitutional standard for impeachment, and they should move on, take the L and move on. Because as long as they keep charging forward with this, it gives people the idea, it gives politicians, and I hate to say this, but I could imagine, you know, it gives, regardless of party, it gives politicians this fantasy that if they have a majority, they can impeach people they don't like. And that is not how democracy works.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. That's Ben Wickler. He is the chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. Thank you for joining us, Ben. You know, the pushing back on this, it comes in all sorts of ways, right? Call your local legislator, you know, get out, rally, you know, do things, spend money, for example. And I saw that the Democratic Party, Ben, you're going to have a spend on this. You want to get people informed of what's going on. $1 million from the Democratic Party, my understanding, and be matched by with another $3 million from other outside organizations. Ben, what's the timeline and what are you hoping to accomplish by doing so?
All this could be this month. And you know, it depends on how long Republicans want to drag this out. I will also say that if they actually move forward with impeachment and then we enter a longer period where the public needs to ensure that Republican state senators actually vote, and then the accountability on this, the assembly people who just voted, this could get vastly bigger. This is the first salvo to make sure that Republicans actually face some consequences and accountability for what they're doing. And I will say, I mean, people clicking and donating online at wisdems.org, it's through the roof right now. People contacting me and asking how they can help, not just donating, but volunteering. People are knocking on doors in Republican legislative districts night after night after night to tell voters what Republicans are trying to do. They're texting people. They're reaching out on social media. They're making phone calls to voters to tell them Republicans are trying to nullify your vote. Contact your state legislator now. And again, this is early days in something that could get far bigger than this. It is, this is a profound threat to the basic system of government of this country. And treating this as a regular political issue, you know, there's big debates happening right now about important things. Childcare. Republicans don't want to support expanded childcare. Democrats do. A debate over taxes. Republicans want to give another big tax cut for the rich. Governor Evers says, I'll give a tax cut to the middle class, but not the wealthiest people. That stuff is what politics is supposed to be about, where each side does their best to get elected, and then they try to find a compromise and argue about principles about what our policy should be. But this is not part of what politics is supposed to be about. Removing people from office because you disagree with them is beyond the pale. And if the GOP goes forward with this, they're going to find out what happens next.
Ben, not to play Monday morning quarterback, but if Dan Canodal in the special election had not gotten elected, we wouldn't be here. That gave them the supermajority. Jody Habesynikin, his opponent, the Democrat, good candidate, I thought, lost, not by very much, but lost by enough, obviously. What was the support for Jody Habesynikin during that race from the Dem Party? Do you think whatever it was, should there have been more? Should have this been on the horizon? What are your thoughts as we look back now from then to where we are now?
So I'll say three things. First is Democratic Party of Wisconsin, we were able to raise and contribute more than $500,000 to her state Senate special election, which, as far as I know, is more than the state party ever contributed to any candidate for the state legislature before I became chair, you know, in our history. Most of the years they didn't have the current laws. We did a lot. That said, if I could go back in time and find more resources and send them her way, I absolutely would. She lost. She was in a race that she was supposed to lose in a landslide. That was rigged to be, you know, at least 9-point Republican victory in a 50-50 election year. She lost by 1.7 points. She did much better than even the polls that we had privately before the election suggested were possible. She was a great candidate. She worked her tail off. She had an amazing team. She did everything right. And I wish that I could go back in time and help her to cross the finish line. So one, we did a lot. Two, I wish we'd done more. Three, I don't know, even if she'd won, Robin Voss still might be pulling the stunt because as we've talked about here, like, I don't think he has the votes in the state Senate to convict. This seems more about using the assembly to try to suspend her. And in that scenario, Democrats could have a majority in the state Senate. Well, no, then they would hold the trial and acquit right away. Democrats could have a one-seat deficit in the state Senate, and Republicans could still pull this trick. Like, this is really, really ugly politics. And we need to make sure that they don't even think about this as an option going forward.
Devil's Advocates Radio Show, our fine guest, Ben Wickler, Democratic Party of Wisconsin chair. So, Ben, I have been sort of theorizing they may go through with this, that this bad politics is just what the doctor ordered for Robin Voss and his team. So they go to the floor, both the Assembly and the Senate, this Thursday on the 14th of September. Ben, do you expect we're going to know this week, this upcoming week, if this is, quote unquote, a viable action, whether or not Republicans intend to move forward with this?
It could happen fast. I mean, we've seen that. We've seen that with Act 10. We've seen that with the lame duck power grab. They put out their bill with basically 24 hours of notice in terms of business days. Given that they're already in legislative session, they don't have to do notice this time. It's not a special session. They can just put a bill on the floor as a privilege motion and pass it. However, that would be breaking with all precedent in terms of how impeachment is supposed to work. There's supposed to be an investigation. There's supposed to be a trial. They could run into serious legal trouble if they try to pull this without any kind of due process. And, you know, I think the more the public is heard, I think the more that they slow down and start making sure they've dotted their I's and crossed their T's. If you'd asked me a week ago, I would have said, if you asked me on this Tuesday, I would have said, we might expect an impeachment vote this coming Tuesday. Those were the rumors flying around. Now it seems like they're slowing down and realizing this may not be the quick win that they thought, the easy way to solve their political problems. And the more the public speaks up, the slower I think they're going to be. They need to find an off-ramp, and they need to find it fast. And we're going to keep on pushing until they do.
Ben Wickler, Democratic Party of Wisconsin chair. We had a friend, a caller yesterday, Lake Forest, Illinois, I believe. People from other states want to know how they can help in this action. Ben, obviously money helps, but how else could people help?
Well, if you go to defendjustice.com, we'll put a link there that out-of-state listeners can click and call Protestate's voters in Wisconsin and make sure they know what Republicans are trying to do. These are people in Republican legislative districts. They can call them, let them know, and tell them how they can contact their legislators. So we welcome volunteers from across the country to get the word out to every Wisconsinite who's represented by one of these folks who's thinking about an impeachment. And we're gonna make sure that the public's voice is heard on this thing.
Ben Wickler, Democratic Party of Wisconsin Chair, thank you for coming around. You remain a friend of the Devil's Advocates.
Thanks so much, guys.
All right, Ben. Be well. Come back, the rest of you. More Devil's Advocates. Phone lines open. Air your grievances up in here. 844-967-2789.
The Devil's Advocates. Political commentary from the back of the class.
The Devil's Advocates radio show. It's Friday. Here in the grievances, you can join us. 844-967-2789.
Dominic, want to thank our most recent guest, a fine one, Democratic Party Wisconsin Chairman Ben Wickler. I like to call him the Rainmaker. Makes it rain up in here. Friend of the Devil's Advocates. We'll keep having him around, I suspect, Dom, because there's lots of Republican malfeasance afoot. And it's not just the threatened impeachment of Janet Protasiewicz. Let's not forget the travails of Megan Wolf, because she's coming before the Senate, at least the committee, that Dan Knodel guy on Monday.
Oh, that Monday guy, his name keeps popping up. It's like a bad penny.
Journal Sentinel reporting, Dom, a key Senate committee is moving forward with a plan that could result in ousting Wisconsin's top election officials, plural, it says, less than a year before voters begin the process of selecting the next president.
Great timing.
Yes. Couldn't be better. The state Senate committee overseeing elections will hold a vote on whether to reappoint Wisconsin Elections Commissioner Administrator Megan Wolf, despite legal opinions issued by the legislature's own attorneys and Democratic Attorney General Josh Call, concluding her appointment is not legally before the Senate. I know I butchered that. Call and the legislature's attorneys say Megan Wolf's appointment is not legally before the Senate. You know, the whole bad math thing, Dom.
Legally, schmeagally, whatever. They don't care.
Now, your senator, Dan Knodel, Republican from Germantown, scheduled a committee vote on Wolf's appointment on Monday. He told the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel last Tuesday, following a public hearing for her position, that he was undecided whether to hold a vote and when, I guess, Monday, Dom. And here's the less than courageous part. The committee will vote by paper ballot on Wolf's position instead of during an in-person hearing in the state capitol, which means members of the committee will not be available to answer questions about their votes. They're going to do it behind closed doors, effectively, Dom. Knodel's office will collect the ballots on Monday, and he'll tell us the outcome.
Oh, great.
A spokesman for Knodel on Friday said Knodel is fulfilling his constitutional duties. Based on Republicans' adoption of a resolution earlier this year to take up Wolf's nomination, which directed Senate President Chris Kapinga, you know what we think of him, Dom, Republican from Delafield, to refer Wolf's nomination to Knodel's committee for a recommendation. Well, I got a recommendation for Knodel's committee, Dom.
Crudy, but state law requires the bipartisan Wisconsin Elections Commission to reappoint Wolf with four votes, which did not occur. As a result, Call and the nonpartisan legislative council have issued memos saying Wolf's confirmation is not properly before the committee. The legislature's attorneys have stated that an appointment or reappointment requires four votes of election commissioners under state law, a threshold Wolf has not reached because of procedural maneuvers made by the commission's Democratic members in an effort to keep her in the role. Wolf did not testify at last week's public hearing, citing Call's legal opinion that she's a lawful holdover and the Senate has no authority to act on her appointment. She did not respond to reporters' questions about her position at a Wisconsin Election Commission meeting on Thursday. At the hearing, Clerkson Democratic WEC Commissioner Ann Jacobs defended Wolf as a respected elections official. Public testimony was dominated by individuals and groups who falsely believe in widespread fraud and who have narrowed in on Wolf. In a letter to committee members, Wolf explained that as administrator, she does not take votes on election rules. Even after the committee votes on Wolf's position, the full Senate would need to take up Wolf's confirmation to approve or reject her appointment. Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu, who argues that the commission's 3-0 vote constitutes a two-thirds majority to nominate Wolf to a new term, has refused to answer questions about whether and when the chamber will hold a vote on her position. Again, these Republicans, just bastions of confidence and, you know, out there, but doing it for the people and transparency, not
for the people. 844-967-2789. It's Friday. Why must he call every day? CJ. Why must you call every day, man? Don't you have a life outside this radio programming?
Don't you have homes?
CJ, what's your opinion about what's happening in Wisconsin in regards to Janet Protasiewicz and maybe even Megan Wolf, if we can stay on topic?
I'd actually like to talk to Robin Voss and get a little bit more information, because it's not like the Republicans are really great at dirty politics, but I would say after watching what was done to Trump and the Supreme Court, the way you guys kind of pick and choose the U.S. Supreme Court. And
I think Trump got the last three picks on that. If I remember Merrick Garland, if you talk about dirty pool and hardball politics, buddy, what about Merrick Garland?
You mean the head of Biden's
department? No, I mean the guy that was nominated to the Supreme Court that never got an up or down vote. That guy.
You guys, the Democrat Party is better at dirty politics.
What about Merrick Garland's Supreme Court nomination, CJ? Who did it first, dude?
Didn't deserve it. Nope. Who ran the itinerary? The Republicans did. So
the itinerary, yeah. So they didn't give a man a fair up or down vote. And you're calling us the dirty tricksters.
I mean, if you cared about the way Trump was impeached over a phone call.
I don't care what you have to say anymore, CJ.
This is the perfect phone call.
Every one of your phone calls is a perfect phone call in your mind, CJ. Just like Trump. 844-967-2789. Mark from the SAC, welcome back. Sorry to make you a shotgun behind that manure spreader.
Hey, Mark.
Being behind a manure spreader would be more pleasant than what I just heard. This stuff is just infectious. I don't know if you saw the picture of with Patrick Mahomes with a noose around his neck from one of the sports websites. That it's just pretty disgusting. This is how it's affected our society. I mean, that this kind of crap is acceptable at all. I mean, and that for dirty tricks. I mean, the Republican Party in the state of Wisconsin is the master of dirty tricks, and that for CJ to say, try to come up otherwise than that is just, I don't know.
Well,
I just
what we used to say, CJ, that's thin gruel. Come back with us. We are the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Don't know if we got any more rainmakers, but we got our pal Mike Clemens coming in the Happier Happy Hour, going to give us a little Packer preview, and we'll give you a chance to air your grievances up in here. Here's one of mine, Dom. Did you see today in the headlines, Lindsey Graham should have been criminally indicted in Georgia?
And he wasn't?
We got some sound from the quote-unquote defendant, Lord